Juneau police are reporting an accidental shooting over the weekend. The victim's current condition is still unclear, but the person was taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital for initial treatment. The shooting occurred Saturday afternoon near the Hank Harmon Rifle Range on Montana Creek Road. Officers say the shooting happened inside a vehicle while it was leaving the range. The passenger, who was holding a loaded pistol, attempted to unload the weapon. The gun fired, with a bullet striking the driver in the leg. Firefighters and police officers met with the vehicle in the area of Floyd Dryden Middle School, and from there the victim was taken to the hospital by ambulance. The investigation into the shooting continues. The former mayor of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough has waived his right to a preliminary hearing on possession of child pornography charges. Jack Shea on Friday asked that his case be bound over to Superior Court without the hearing. 80-year-old Shea is charged with 90 counts. He was arrested last month, and police say he took his computer and printer to a repair shop, and employees found child pornography on the machine. Most of the charges stem from printed material found when police served a search warrant at Shea's home. A longtime public official served stints as mayor for both the city and borough, and most recently had been elected to the Ketchikan City Council. He resigned after the arrest. The survivor of a Coast Guard helicopter crash last year has his first day in court this week. Lieutenant Lance Leone is expected to appear Wednesday before a military judge here in Juneau. The Coast Guard has brought charges against Leone for the loss of a Coast Guard helicopter in July of last year and the deaths of two of his crew members. The chopper and its crew were based in Sitka, where community members who support Leone have taken up a collection for his legal defense. Ed Ronco has more on the story.
Lieutenant Lance Leone is facing three charges from the Coast Guard. One says he failed to navigate away from charted hazards. Another charges him with the destruction of the chopper. Those are both misdemeanors. The third charge consists of two felony counts. It says Leone negligently caused the deaths of Petty Officer First Class Adam Hoke and Petty Officer Second Class Brett Banks. Leone is not facing charges in connection with the death of the helicopter's commander, Lieutenant Sean Kruger. Wednesday's proceeding is called an Article 32 hearing. It's similar to a grand jury hearing in civilian court, but with a few differences.
Unlike a civilian grand jury, the Article 32 is an adversary hearing. The accused can be there not only can be there, but he can be there and be represented by counsel.
Lieutenant Colonel John Farr is retired from the Army's Judge Advocate General Corps and is now an attorney in private practice in Anchorage. He says in addition to Leone's ability to be present, the hearing will include a full airing of the evidence against him.
It's a tactical decision like any other whether the accused would actually testify. But the military system has all the protections of the civilian system. In fact, it resembles it in more ways than it differs from it.
Instead of a panel of grand jurors, Leone's case will be heard before an investigating officer, in this case Captain Andrew Norris, a Coast Guard judge advocate stationed at the U.S. Naval War College in Rhode Island. Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow is a spokesman for the U.S. Coast Guard in Alaska.
Once the evidence has been presented, he will then write his recommendation and provide that to Admiral Ostabo. And Admiral Ostabo will then determine the next course of action to take.
Wadlow is referring to Rear Admiral Thomas Ostabo, commander of the Coast Guard District that encompasses all of Alaska. Ostabo can decide to drop the charges, handle the matter internally, or send the case on to a court-martial, which would put Leone on trial. While all of this is happening, friends in Sitka have established a legal defense fund for Leone through the law office of Pearson and Hansen. Mike Finn is one of those friends. The charges were filed on September 30th, and Finn says the time since then has been frustrating.
It's hard to get answers right now. There's not a lot of people that want to talk about it that can talk about it. There's a lot of people that want to help that can't. And so it's just one of those things that I feel a personal interest in wanting to get the word out and get the proper word out and tell people, you know, some of the things that are going on with this case that aren't being aired.
Finn says he has many concerns, including a feeling that Leone is being singled out for punishment by a command that's concerned about its safety image. And he says the charges against Leone have changed his view of the Coast Guard as an institution. His 11-year-old son has shown an interest in joining, but Finn says he won't support the decision if Leone is convicted. That's a different reaction than the one held by Leone's father, George.
I still love them. I love their mission. It is upsetting to know what's happening at present. But I believe he will be rescued and vindicated because my son didn't do anything wrong.
George Leone says his son was questioned in the aftermath of the accident and that the investigation appeared to be over. He says Lance Leone was about to get the green light to fly again.
He got a call from in Washington that his training's been canceled.
The charges were filed not long after. George Leone says he's been awed by the support the community of Sitka showed in the aftermath of the crash and the support from the Coast Guard. That included a hospital visit from Admiral Robert Papp, the Coast Guard commandant. Papp is the highest-ranking officer in the Coast Guard, and when the charges were filed, George Leone called him at home. He says he didn't get to talk to Papp, but he spoke to his wife.
So what did I want to tell Papp when I called him? I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for all the love and support, but I want to understand what's going on, and please stop. How can they do a tremendous investigation? They spent thousands of man hours, put together a report, and they said, Lance didn't do anything wrong. They hit some wires out there, whatever. And now to come up with this, when he got the green light to go flying, you're slapping the face of all the people that did this investigative report. They said there's nothing wrong with it. Now, where is this coming from?
George Leone might not have received an answer to that question, where is this coming from? But after Wednesday's hearing, he and his son, Lieutenant Lance Leone, might have a clearer idea of where it's going. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
And you can hear a longer interview with Lance Leone's father, George, on the website at kcaw.org. Capital City officials are frustrated by stalled changes to Juneau's solid waste system. City Manager Rod Swope says Juneau can't make any improvements until two private companies work out their issues over the collection and disposal of garbage. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska recently rejected an Alaska Pacific Environmental Services proposal to barge Juneau's trash to the lower 48 instead of dumping it in the landfill. The company also wants to implement a curbside recycling program. APES operates Juneau's garbage collection company, Arrow Refuse. When APES announced the plan in September, it caught city officials and landfill operator Waste Management by surprise. With news of the Regulatory Commission's rejection of the application, Swope hopes Waste Management will be able to rekindle a city-backed effort to expand recycling services.
I'm very hopeful they'll be able to work things out, at least to the point where they're willing to extend the contract at least for another year to give everybody more time to try to figure some of this stuff out. City's pretty much caught in the middle right now.
Arrow's contract with Waste Management expires in December of next year. Landfill manager Eric Vance says the two companies are talking, but he declined to comment since he's not involved in those negotiations. In denying Alaska Pacific Environmental Services application, RCA staff wrote that the proposed revisions represent a rate redesign, which requires a cost of service study. No such study was included in the company's application. APES officials did not return calls seeking comment.